the speaker insisted, he's fit for the job.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
Welcome to the BCP podcast. I am James, the Black Conservative Patriot, BCP. And I want to talk about something very important here. There's two things that we are faced with as adults. If you're watching or listening to this show, I'm assuming that you are an adult or at least mature enough to understand the following. There is how things should be and how things really are. Let's talk about the first one. If you are a conservative, a free thinker, a libertarian, you know America should be operating under the rule of law and under the Constitution, that we are a constitutional republic. We have a representative form of democracy that is not mob democracy, and that we're supposed to have justice for all and liberty is blind. If you look at the world the way it should be, if you are Republican and you vote for conservatives to represent you in the House of Representatives, the lower chamber of Congress in the United States of America, or you vote for a person to be your Republican senator from your state, that they should go to Washington, D.C. and represent our conservative values of limited government, smart fiscal and monetary policy, and of course, upholding the Constitution and our civil liberties. That is how we want things to be. That's the way America should work. But then there's the reality. They don't represent us on the Republican side. It's so ridiculous that we call Republicans who aren't really conservatives rhinos, Republican in name only, when a majority of the Republicans are rhinos. It's actually a breath of fresh air when a Republican is not a rhino. The rhino is actually the norm in D.C. Why is that? Because once again, there is how the world and how American politics should work. And if we have an idealistic view, we are far from the America that we're supposed to be. Because that is not how America works. That's not how it is. And I want to get into understanding how things really work. Because we must understand how things really work in America if we're going to fix it. And let's look at the current Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and two major flip-flops. This will be our case study for what I want to present to you today.
House Speaker Mike Johnson urging House members to reauthorize a bill that permits spying on non-citizens abroad. The current version of the bill allows the FBI to search collected data to see if it includes data from Americans. Conservatives want warrants to be required for collecting American data. It's another strike against Johnson, who could soon face a challenge to his speakership.
How does a Republican Speaker of the House, a supposed conservative like Mike Johnson, champion the reauthorization of FISA, which is against all our civil liberties and was and is a total disaster? Look how they abused FISA against President Trump. Well, we'll get into that because once again, idealistically, Mike Johnson would oppose this. But that's not how the world really works. That's not how the United States really works. Okay? And the second thing that Mike Johnson just did is he did not use the majority, albeit slim majority, in the House and use that as leverage to secure the border as a tool to maybe play ball with the other side on funding of Ukraine. He has not given us what we want, using this as leverage against the Democrats. And now he has presented a funding for Ukraine and other wars that even Biden is happy about. Not even Biden is happy about. It's essentially what the Democrats want. Once again, idealistically, the worst president, the fake president, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., should not be happy about what's being proposed by the Republican Speaker of the House.
A $95 billion Senate bill passed in February included aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It never made it to a House vote because conservative Republicans opposed the Ukraine aid. Now House Speaker Mike Johnson plans to split the one Senate bill into four as he faces sharp criticism from within his own party.
I regard myself as a wartime speaker.
Hanging over his head is a warning from fellow Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene, threatening to move to oust the speaker if he brings up a vote for Ukraine aid. Today, the speaker insisted he's fit for the job.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion.
President Biden says he supports a proposal from Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson to provide aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. The bill would provide $95 billion total.
All right, so that's the Mike Johnson news from the last few days and week. Now let's use that as a launching pad, as a case study, to how things really work. Now, one of the catalysts for my wanting to do this particular analysis is, bless your hearts, I feel you. And I'm not saying that in a Texas Southern kind of way. I'm saying this in a California kid kind of way. Bless your heart. I understand how you're feeling when I read comments like, what is Mike Johnson doing? How come the Republicans aren't doing this? Republicans should be doing this, with this hope and this idealistic feeling that Republicans in D.C. should be representing conservative values. But that's just not how it works. There's a book that I read, I want to say it's about 20 years ago. It was in the early 2000s. Martha Stout wrote a book called The Sociopath Next Door. And the book points out that according to her study, 1 in 25 people in society is a sociopath. That's 4%. 4% of our nation are sociopaths, which means they don't have the same moral compass as we do, and they operate very differently. And I read this when I was building my finance business. I built that business from 2002 to 2010, more or less, before I went back into banking and working. That was my own business before I went back into being an employee at a bank, then, you know, becoming a VP and being a management or what have you. But I had read that book with the intent, as a business builder, to understand people and my competition and the landscape. I didn't look at it at that time in the realm of politics, but I quickly started to see that this applied to everything. And I think it behooves us to look at some highlights of what this book points out. And as we go through a few of these things, you'll easily understand what we're dealing with when it comes to Washington. Let me just say this. Washington doesn't just have 4% of these people, of the population. In other words, it's not just 4% of Washington, D.C. that are these sociopaths. It's that these sociopaths are drawn to D.C. There's a disproportionate amount of these sociopaths next door in the District of Columbia. Dr. Martha Stout's nonfiction, The Sociopath Next Door, The Ruthless Versus the Rest of Us. Okay, it was written in 2005. I said, I guess I was right. Not quite 20 years ago I read it. I read it when it first came out. I was intrigued by it. I think I heard about it on probably a radio show at that time. And read it when it came out. So almost 20 years. In the book, she attempts to present an accurate depiction of sociopaths, also known as psychopaths. They do not have a conscience, nor do they experience feelings of love or sorrow. They live their lives as if they are performers in a play with no concept of shame or guilt. Okay, so this should be resonating with some folks. who are listening to this or watching this, and perhaps this is new to them, because I read your comments, because you are good moral people and you understand how these people have no shame. How do they, how can they do this? Aren't they embarrassed? No, they're not. They're sociopaths. They don't have the same moral compass. They don't have the same conscience you and I do. They attempt to get normal people into relationships that are abusive and that generally end in disaster. Stout attempts to educate our readers to help them avoid becoming victims. The Sociopath Next Door is a self-help guide as well as an attempt to impart information about the troubling condition. Stout is a psychologist who has worked and or taught at venues including Harvard Medical School, Wellesley College, and the McLean Psychiatric Hospital. Her writings has appeared in publications including the Boston Globe, the Huffington Post, and the New Republic. So, PhD Martha Stout knows what she's talking about, okay? And we'll get into the specifics of the sociopath traits in this case study of what's happening with Mike Johnson. But let me just give you a little bit more of an overview of what's discussed in this book, because it is relevant to what's happening right now and what has always been happening. The book looks at people who are guided, who live life without being guided, by a conscience. They live their lives as devious beings, and they do it as necessary to achieve whatever goals they have in mind. Their minds let them go as far outside of the normal society as they want without having any influence on them. Guilt plays no role. Sociopaths feel no regret, no matter what they might say or do. She refers to them as DSM-4, the Manual for Diagnosing Mental Disorders, and outlines 7 characteristics that define sociopathic behavior. Failure to conform to social norms. It used to be, it is a social norm. It used to not be a challenge social norm that you don't rape children, that you don't diddle children, that quite honestly, excuse my French, you don't F around with children in any way, shape, or form, either sexually abusing them, exposing them to deviant thoughts and ideas. And it still is. It's just that these sociopaths have been very well organized, and they have done a bang up job in convincing people to see their world through their immoral, lack of conscious worldview. Okay, so these people operate outside of social norms. They are pedophiles, and rapists, and serial liars, and thieves. They are sexual deviants, because that's one of the traits of sociopaths. Also, they are deceitful and manipulative. That, by definition, is every damn politician, good or bad. They lie and they manipulate to get the vote. Both sides. As I'm going through this, my brothers and sisters, who I love and appreciate you guys so much, you have no idea. You are family to me. So when I say brother and sister, I really mean brother and sister. I am of the Christian faith that we have an almighty Father in heaven who created all mankind. Therefore, we're all brothers and sisters. But you are my brothers and sisters in this conflict. We are of the same freedom family, if you will. My brothers and sisters, as I'm going through this, do not think parties. Do not think, oh, that's a Democrat trait. Think politicians. That's it. End. No cap. Hard stop. Or whatever the kids are saying these days. They're impulsive. They're aggressive and irritable. And they have a lack of concern for the safety of others. They are irresponsible. And they lack concern and remorse for their antisocial actions. A sociopath will display 3 or more of these 7 symptoms. But as you look at it, politicians tend to display 3 or more or all of these symptoms. They fail to conform to social norms with the devious, sick things they do behind closed doors to children, whether it's trying to harvest them for their longevity or for their sick, deviant proclivities. They are deceitful and manipulative. All of them lie. Not all of them are impulsive. Many of them are controlled. Many of them are aggressive and irritable, but we don't see that because they're actors and they hide that from us. But they definitely have a lack of concern for the safety of others, and they have no remorse or concern. That is why they want war. That is why they add to the national debt. They don't care about the consequences of their actions. They are sociopaths. Now, these sociopaths don't just come out and say that they're sociopaths, and they won't show you many of these traits because they are wearing a mask. These are individuals who don't have a conscience and they lack empathy. And in the book, Dr. Stout highlights this misconception that they're all violent criminals. People tend to think that there are the rest of us, and then they are psychopaths. Forget psychopaths. Let's just say that that is the extreme sociopath. But it's these everyday sociopaths that we have to deal with in everyday life that pretend to be normal people, but they're not, that we must be aware of. And once again, many of these people, you consider the sociopath next door, just when you hear the sociopaths in DC, that's the next door that we're talking about. She explains that in reality, these people come off as charming, intelligent. They seem normal. They wear a mask of normalcy, and it's difficult to identify them. And once again, 4%, 1 in 25 people are sociopaths. So we are going to encounter them often, and we should be aware of them and their traits. So they're skilled manipulators. They're able to lie convincingly and without remorse. They are impulsive and irresponsible. They often lead chaotic lives. They're incapable of feeling guilt or empathy. And they view others as mere objects to be used for their own gain. That includes us, the unwitting, stupid lemming voter who is just going to check Republican or vote Republican without actually looking at if the person with the R next to their name is in fact a conservative. Despite their lack of empathy, sociopaths are adept at mimicking emotions, allowing them to blend into society. They're also highly skilled identifying and exploiting the weakness of others. This combination of traits make them dangerous and difficult to spot. Now, I'm not recommending these series of books or TV show, but I'm going to be honest here. I've always liked crime and crime drama. You know, as a little kid, my parents liked the movie The Godfather. And this is just, you know, it's a guy thing, right? It used to be a guy thing. We like crime and drama. And I guess the trope, the meme now is that women love true crime. They love the true crime podcast. Well, we men like true crime as well. We like mafia. We like spies. We like, you know, all this intrigue of the underworld and gangs and prison. There's lots of shows and documentaries that cater to men who want to know about all these underworld things. And of course, women like true crime podcasts of the women and the men who murder and what have you. We're drawn to these people. And if you listen to or watch one of these documentaries, any one of them, where they finally catch the person, often, I had no idea it was him. Oh, he seemed like such a good guy. Right? When they finally catch the bad guy who's been blending into society this whole time. Now, before I digress, I've read a few of these books of Dexter Morgan. He's a serial killer who is a police officer. Well, he works in a lab. He's a crime investigator. I think that's how the show works, and I've read a couple of the books. And he is a sociopath. He's actually a psychopath because he's a serial killer. He's a murderer. Except he's got a code that was given to him by his adoptive father, where he only preys and kills and murders other criminals, so he can get away with it, and he can get his bloodlust for wanting to murder, because he doesn't really have a conscience, but he can get away with murder as a police officer killing these criminals. No one will miss them, and he's doing society a favor. Now, in the book, there are other characters that he suspects of being just like him, where he has no empathy, he has no feelings, but he acts like one. He brings donuts and he does all these things to fit in with the people in his precinct so they can see him as a normal guy. But he suspects other people that he works with are also sociopaths. He can kind of feel that they're faking it. That they're not really human, like he's not really human. And then he has a nemesis in the police department that knows that Dexter Morgan is a killer. There's something off with him. And it's Sergeant Doakes. And this is where I get confused, because they kill him off in one book, but he's a little bit longer. I think he makes it to the second season in the series. Sorry for the spoilers, folks. But he knows that Dexter Morgan is faking it and there's something wrong with him. And then we find out that Sergeant Doakes is also a murderer as well. He was an assassin, I think, for the CIA, and he was in Afghanistan or whatever. So he's a stone cold-blooded killer as well now in the police department, and he recognizes Dexter Morgan for what he is. I said all that to say this. They are going through this world, and I'm quoting a work of fiction here, but the point is this. They are sociopaths, and they kind of are able to recognize other sociopaths as well. And that is how they build mafias. That's how they build cliques. That's how they build cartels. That's how they built and are building the District of Columbia. Birds of a feather flock together. Dr. Stout also talks about the sociopath's impact. She explores the impact sociopaths have on those around them. They leave a trail of destruction in their wake. They cause emotional and sometimes physical harm to those they encounter. People in D.C. are leaving more than just a trail of destruction in their wake at a personal level. This is at an international level. War, crime. Like many of you go, what's wrong with these people? The open borders, they don't support the open borders. Can't they see what's happening to the rest of us? They don't care. They don't have any natural feeling to the rest of us. They don't care that we have illegal aliens raping our women and children, committing crime, that it hurts the economy. As long as they get what they want, they don't care about the rest of us. They also are more likely to engage in criminal behavior, with a significant proportion of prison inmates exhibiting sociopathic traits. They also are likely to engage in politics, with a significant proportion of those making their way to D.C. And when I say that they're making their way to D.C., don't just think politicians or current politicians, because many of those politicians then become lobbyists, or many people go to D.C. as lobbyists to begin with, which is where I want to bring this all back together with Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson, I'm not saying, is a sociopath. He is just not well equipped to combat them. We've got this exclusive coming out of Breitbart, and it really sheds a lot of light on what's going on with Mike Johnson. Exclusive: Mike Johnson's top policy advisor is former lobbyist, and the clients have corporate interests in Ukraine. What I'm trying to get at here, folks, let me cut to the chase, is that Mike Johnson is being manipulated by the sociopaths who play to win, have no conscience, and do not represent us. Johnson's policy director is Dan Ziegler. And let's get into what this is all about. The inside story of how House Speaker Mike Johnson was flip-flopped on Ukraine aid starts with his top policy advisor, a former lobbyist whose clients include a number of major companies who have issued corporate statements indicating some kind of interest in the war. Dan Ziegler was, until he joined the Speaker's office as his top policy aide when Johnson won the speakership, a lobbyist with the firm Williams & Jensen. He had previously worked for Johnson in other capacities, but left Johnson to become a lobbyist and accumulated a client list that included several top companies, some of which seemed to have a financial interest in seeing Congress pass Ukraine aid. The lobbying firm for which he worked represents a number of top companies. Lobbying disclosures reveal Ziegler represented many of these companies, including several that have made corporate statements about the war in Ukraine or issued press statements or other public guidance saying it could affect their business operations. What's more, Ziegler also represented the highly controversial News Media Alliance, which was lobbying Congress when he worked for Williams & Jensen, to push a dangerous proposal that would have severely hurt conservative media. That proposal, called the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, has died several times in Congress, but, you know, it keeps coming back. Ziegler is not only one in Johnson's, is not the only one in Johnson's inner circle who has issues. Several other staffers working for Johnson have a series of troubling developments in their backgrounds, as is now, it is unclear if the speaker himself is aware of all of this or not. If he is, then he is weak. And if he isn't, someone that naive is a miracle he got this far. And I think that we can see that he knows what's going on. He's just ill-equipped. So what kind of squeeze are they putting on Mike Johnson? I don't know, but these people play to win, and they play dirty. And then we're seeing crazy things like Mike Johnson praising CNN's Jake Tapper, saying that he's always fair. Does that make sense? Well, it makes sense in light of understanding that Mike Johnson is being manipulated by sociopaths. And a person who's calling foul on this, of course, is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is calling for the ousting of Mike Johnson and also trying to introduce an amendment into the Ukraine Supplement Bill where members who vote in favor are required to join the Ukrainian army. And that's not going to happen, nor are their children going to join the army because these people abort their children and aren't having them. They're not having children. They don't care about the future. They are not one of us. That is the reality of the situation. And we do have some people like Thomas Massey and Rand Paul who are in favor of ousting Mike Johnson as speaker. So our case study of Mike Johnson, how does he flip-flop? Because he's surrounded by sociopaths who are manipulating him. And we are paying the price. Going back to Mike Johnson, apparently he has not read this book and he doesn't know how to protect our nation nor himself from these sociopaths. Let's go back to Dr. Martha Stout and her ideas of how we protect ourselves from these sociopaths. Despite the challenges in identifying sociopaths, Stout offers advice on how to protect ourselves from their manipulative tactics. We need to trust our instincts and beware of individuals who seem too good to be true. This is why many of you, including myself, were skeptical, rightfully so, about Donald J. Trump when he put his name in the hat to run for president. Is he the real deal? Is he, you know, we've been burned. We have to go by the past. We have to use wise judgment. And most people that go into politics are in it for themselves. And I loved Donald Trump as a businessman. Remember, once again, if you're new around here, I had my own financing company where I did construction financing, real estate financing. So I always loved the art of the deal, Donald Trump. Ed, one of my first wealth and business mentors, was a commercial banker who took me under his wing and showed me a lot of things and mentored me. And he introduced me. I was in my early 20s. I want to say I was either 19 or 21. I can't remember if it was right before I went on my 2-year mission or right after. But somewhere in that time, Ed exposed me to Donald Trump and the world of commercial real estate and finance, all that kind of stuff. So I knew and liked President Trump, or then candidate Trump, and I liked the stuff he'd said over the years. But he kind of dipped his toe in 2012, exposed the whole birther thing, and then just kind of faded back into the side of the stage. Went back to the green room. It wasn't his time yet, but I didn't know that. So for those of you who didn't jump on the Trump train, I mean, I jumped on the Trump train in 2016, don't get me wrong, but it was after I went and saw him personally at the San Diego Convention Center. I took my son, we went down there, checked it out, and I could feel, and I trusted my gut, oh yeah, Donald Trump's a real deal. He really loves his country and really wants to work for us. And then Stout says that we need to investigate more about these sociopaths. So let me bring this all together for you, folks. These sociopaths are apex predators. And let's look at these. Let's look at both of these things together. This is how the world is. These apex predators, sociopaths, they don't care about the prey. Do you think the lion or the orca cares about the other mammals that they eat, slaughter, and kill and eat? No, they don't. These apex predators believe that they are gods, that they, right now they believe they are gods, and they want to have power over the rest of us. And they don't care about the rest of us. We're like ants to them. They don't care about the prey. They don't care about us as human beings. They don't care about us as American citizens. They don't care about the world. But they do manipulate us because we do care about the world. That is why they have weaponized virtual signaling. That is why they are getting rich off of the green economy. They don't care about the earth. They don't care about the future of the earth. That is why they fly around in their big jets while they tell the rest of us to drive electric cars. That is why they are pushing the trans and gay agenda. They don't care about equality. They don't care about any of that stuff. But they know that we care about being fair and loving. So they can push their agenda and manipulate us, normal folks who actually do have a conscience and do want fairness and equity in the world. They don't care about we, their prey, as apex predators, but they play on us who do. That is why they virtue signal, you got to get the vaccine so that you don't get other people sick. Be responsible, get the vaccine, wear a mask. They don't care about the future. That is why they are these apex predator sociopaths. That's why they're pushing war. That's why they're poking the bear and putting us on a path to nuclear destruction. That is why they have devastating fiscal and monetary policies. That's why we're borrowing and creating money out of thin air. And I read your comments, bless your hearts. Don't they care about saddling our children with debt? No, they don't care. First of all, they're not having kids. They abort their children. They may have one or two, which they rape their own children and offer them to Moloch as sacrifices. Anyway, they don't care. They don't care. They pretend they do, but they really don't. Don't go by what a politician says. Judge them by how they act and what they do and the policies they actually push forward. They don't represent us. I hope this should be obvious. Like I pointed out before, rhinos are the majority. Why is that? Because don't think parties, think politicians. They don't represent us. They just pretend to. They're only in it for their own interests. That's why lobbyists invite them to orgies and cocaine and open bars. That is why CIA and operatives offer them impunity to have sex with children, to have children sex slaves, to have women sex slaves, to have gay sex slaves, to allow them to do devious things in the Capitol at night. That is why they control them with children, with sex, with drugs, with power, with money. These people are motivated by the hedonistic, carnal nature of themselves. And as long as that's satisfied, and the powers that be, whether it's the CIA, the DC police, the Capitol Police, covering their crimes, they're fine. And that is why the deep state and the intelligence community is able to control these people. And they aren't fair. They're going after President Trump with lawfare. They're abusing our January 6th prisoners. But Hunter Biden gets off scot-free. Clinton gets off scot-free. Everyone gets off scot-free. They bail out actual criminals while trying to convince people that the end of our republic almost happened because people protested the stolen election of 2020. This is how the world is. The sociopathic apex predators, once again, they consider themselves at the top of the food chain. They don't care about us, the prey. They don't care about the future. They don't represent us. They only represent their own system, and they are not fair. And they reap where they do not sow. That is why we have crony capitalism. That is why we have, like, for instance, under Obama, all this money to Solyndra and all these other companies that went out of business. That is why they want to tax us, because that is how they can have a nice living without actually having to work or create anything for themselves. These people don't create. These are not entrepreneurs. They don't create in the usual sense of business, where you start an enterprise, you start a company, you build employees, you put blood, sweat, and tears, you put your blood and sweat equity, you put your own actual equity into it, and you put your time equity into it. Nope. They just want to reap where they don't sow. Lots of taxes and regulations, manipulation and extortion. Whether it's the mafia telling you you got to pay protection money, or the IRS saying you got to pay protection money. This is why they're money laundering like crazy through Ukraine. $95 billion that Kevin Johnson collectively for all of these, all this money for foreign nations, that is their meal ticket. And they're putting the squeeze, manipulating and blackmailing and controlling Mike Johnson behind the scenes. That's why the flip-flop. They have no conscience, and they play dirty because they play to win at all costs. That is why they're going after Trump, but letting the Biden slide. That is why they're going and punishing and torturing J6 protesters, but BLM and Antifa slide. That is why they steal elections. That is why they unleash COVID. That is why they're controlling and depopulating with a bioweapon masquerading as a COVID vaccine. Hopefully, folks, this explains and opens your eyes to you that this is every politician that we see. From Biden to Chuckie Schumer, from Mitch McConnell to Kevin McCarthy. And maybe Mike Johnson isn't one of these people. But once again, they play dirty. They play to win. Who knows what kind of squeeze or blackmail or what they're doing to Mike Johnson to have him flip-flop and everything. But they're doing what they do, the sociopath, the sociopathic communist deep state. And this is why we're getting the flip-flop from Mike Johnson. He can't play at this level. And that is why Trump has been such a danger to them, because he is an alpha male like them. And in many aspects, he is a apex predator, except he cares about the prey. He cares about not just his fellow countrymen and citizens, but he cares about the world. Started no new conflicts. The Abrahamic Accords in the Middle East. So he does care about the prey. He cares about the future. And that's why he wants to have, he wanted to build a good economy. That's why he cares about blacks and the future of black America in the inner cities. That's why the opportunity zones. He does represent us, the American taxpayer. That's why he said, hey, everyone else has to pay money. We're not going to be suckered into funding NATO. And maybe we will leave NATO. That's why it was all about America first. That is why he put the squeeze on China and those tariffs. That's why he told Mexico to pound sand that if they didn't protect the border, he was going to start with tariffs on them as well. He does represent us, the USA. Whereas the sociopathic apex predators in Congress don't care about us, and they value their interests over our interests. President Trump has sacrificed his wealth, his freedom, his lack, his life of luxury, his being universally well liked by just about everybody, and now being villainized in the weapon, being villainized, and the deep state and the leftists weaponizing everything against him, and the country is divided on Trump, not as much as it used to be, because obviously they're seeing what terrible things are happening under the Biden regime. And we call the Biden regime the Biden regime because he is on the marquee. He's the figurehead, but he's obviously not really in charge of anything. Because of the stark difference back to back between how good things were under President Trump and how poorly they are under Biden, some people are still squeezing their nose and going to vote for President Trump. But this is why we need a President Trump. This is why I like President Trump from the very beginning. This is why my wife, a Mexican, was not offended when President Trump or then candidate Trump said Mexico's not sending their best. And she knows they're not sending their best. That wasn't racist. That was fact, essentially. And it's even worse now with all these Latin American countries from Venezuela and others freeing their insane asylums and their prisons and letting the people come here. This is why President Trump has been a threat. He cares about the prey. He cares about the rest of us. He cares about the future. He's a family man with a wife and several ex-wives and children. He represents the USA over his own interests. He plays fair. This is where they've eaten him apart. He plays for their side. Oh, let Clinton alone. He hasn't really gone after people as hardcore as he should have. I hope that changes in his second term. He reaps because he sowed. He has worked hard to build a business, and he went bankrupt, and he brought it all back, and then some. So he does deserve the fruits of his labors because he has labored to get these things. It wasn't handed to him. He built a real business. He does reap, but he does sow. And he plays to win, but he doesn't play dirty. And that is a good thing. And that is why he keeps, in many ways, getting crushed by the left, who plays dirty. They play to win like he does, but they're willing to play dirty because, once again, they have no conscience. And that's why when President Trump comes in, he must crush them all. He must be letter of the law, not spirit of the law, and go after every single one of these rat bastards who defecated on our Constitution and our freedoms. So there you go, folks. There's a world and how it should be. And then there's a world and U.S. politics of how it really is. A den of vipers run by the 4%ers, the sociopaths, the criminals, and the apex predators. That is how the world really works. This is the true enemy, and this is what we're dealing with. What are your thoughts if you are on Locals, if you are on Patreon, if you're on Spotify? I can't interact with you on Spotify, but I can see your comments. Tell me what they are. Put them down below.